Hi, this is Alan McNish, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Good afternoon and welcome to F1Weekly.com. Steve Faulb, your host for today's show. Today's podcast is number 352, June 7th, 2009. And this F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to. This will be our recap of the 2009 Turkish Grand Prix held in Istanbul. And Nasser Hamid will be joining me a little bit later in the show. And Mr. Clark Rogers is out on tour and will not be joining us today. So let's start off with qualifying. Qualifying was a little bit interesting, not tremendously so, but it was fun to watch. And as usual, the usual suspects are out in the first session, except for the, a little bit surprising, McLaren, having been challenged in the last couple weeks, has managed to really kind of hit a new low. For Lewis Hamilton is out again for the second time this season in Q1, along with Nelson Piquet, Sebastian Buemi, Giancarlo Fisichella, and Sebastian Bourdais. Piquet apparently had a brake issue that caused him to lock up and slide off track during the latter part of the session. It was kind of funny, the radio, the pit guys get on the radio to him and go, "Oh, yeah, we thought we saw something when you were in for that tire change, but we decided not to tell you about it." So poor Piquet is out. And then one of the surprises being Sutil managing to get into the second session again for the second race weekend in a row, which was really nice to see. On to the second session. Not a lot going on there. Nothing really surprising. Out in the second session are Nick Heidfeld, who will qualify P11, Nakajima in 12, Glock in 13, which was kind of a surprise because we'll see his teammate, I think, ended that session in P3 or 4. So that was kind of a surprise to see Glock so far down the field. Heikki Kovalainen in 14 and Sutil in 15. The McLarens just can't get around the track quickly. Their suspension is really stiff. Car's really twitchy. They're having a hard time getting a good fast line and keeping it that way. So on to the final session of qualifying. And as usual, just about everyone in the session is at the top of the timesheets at some point in the session. Some of them very early in the session, because they've gotten put down the first lap. But as has been the case for just about every race so far this season, very exciting in the last 2 minutes. Basically, literally, qualifying in Q3 has now become a race for pole, and that's what we're seeing. As we went into the final seconds of the final set, actually, basically after the end of the session, and everybody's on their final hot lap, we see Jenson Button top the timesheets again, knocking David Webber out of P1 into P3. Rubens comes across the line and knocks Webber down to P4. Button's still in number 2. But there's one more car still on track. And you guessed it. Sebastian Vettel sweeps past and beats Jenson Button for pole by about 1/10 of a second. Finishing the session with a 1:28.316. So Button qualifies P2. Barrichello P3. Mark Webber in P4, Jarno Trulli in P5, and Kimi Raikkonen in P6, followed by his teammate Felipe Massa in P7, Fernando Alonso in P8, Nico Rosberg P9, and Kubica P10. And just a little bit of trivia here for you. Looks like Sebastian Vettel went through that session about 6 kilos worth of fuel lighter than, basically about a lap lighter than Jenson Button. Barrichello was actually about a lap lighter than Jenson Button. Mark Webber, about only a kilo less than Jenson Button. Yarno Trulli, 152, basically the same as Rubens. Kimi at 658. Probably he's the third heaviest of the runners in the final session. Fernando Alonso probably was actually the lightest at 644. Felipe Massa at 654. So he's comparable to Jenson Button, just a kilo less. And then Robert Kubica at 664. He was the heaviest for that period. Some of the other notables. Looks like Sebastian Bourdais is going to go for a really long first stint. He's going to start the race with a 701 kilos. Lewis Hamilton looks like he's going to go a long stint, first wrap around. He's got 696 kilos of fuel on board. So that's it for qualifying. A little bit of the fuel loads. NASA's going to join me for the race recap, and we'll be back in a brief moment.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back. I'm joined now by Nasser Hamid, and we're going to do a quick race recap of the Grand Prix of Turkey 2009 from Istanbul, the Autodromo de Turkey. And welcome to the studio, Nasser. How are you doing today?
Very good, sir. Thank you. May I have your express written consent to say hello, listeners?
Well, too late for getting my consent. But yes, you're quite welcome to just say whatever you wish, Mr. Hamid. I'm happy to have you here with me to help me cover up the fact that our esteemed host is on the road this weekend and unable to join us. I'm hoping he had a chance to watch the race. It was interesting in bits and pieces, but outside of that...
I can make up for him a little bit by saying Fernando Alonso, Fernando Alonso, and Fernando Alonso.
Fernando was in the race and had a pretty good race. But actually, Fernando doesn't have an exceptionally good race. A couple of good things coming out of qualifying. It appears the Toyotas have managed to regain form after having a dismal weekend in Monaco. But the BMWs have improved a little, but still kind of middle of the pack in it. So it should be interesting to see how they do for the day and then see how it goes from there.
How did you watch the race?
I ended up watching the feed, the U.S. televised broadcast on Fox Television with the Speed TV crew. Lots of commercials.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No pre-race. Yeah. And, well, they actually did have some driver interviews this time, but that's probably because the race ran on time. So.
Well, I would like to thank Koala and Mr. Peter Brazier for putting these links. I was able to get the BBC coverage for the first half, and then there was a sign that content's removed per copyrights
right.
Or whatever. So the second I got was, it was Spanish language, probably from Spanish sometime it could be from Argentina or some other place, but I'm pretty sure this was Spanish network. So good to see cars going fast. You know?
Yeah, just good to see the cars going fast. You don't necessarily need commentary a lot of the time. And if you have just a little smattering of understanding with Spanish, you can kind of, you know, put the words to the action.
Yeah, after 20 years in California, that is no problemo.
Starting grid for the race, Vettel and Button on the first row, Barrichello, Webber second row, Trulli, Raikkonen in the third row, Massa, Alonso fourth row, Heidfeld, Nakajima in sixth, Glock and Kovalainen in seventh, Sutil and Hamilton in eighth, Piquet and Buemi in the ninth row, and Fisichella and Bourdais will be backing up the field. Lights go out and they're off. Rubens Barrichello comes about half a rev from stalling the car on the grid. Apparently, he mentions later in interviews that he was having a clutch problem, which caused his anti-stall to kick in, which means he loses about 8 places on the start of the race.
Did you see the way Button parked his car, kind of like Schumacher, you know, pointing towards Vettel?
No, I didn't
see it. Yeah, at the start.
Setting up for that cutoff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Button does manage to beat Vettel down into turn one, actually, I take that back. No, Vettel manages to hold Button off and beat him down into turn one, but would not manage to last for him the whole race. He makes a small mistake in turn nine, running a little wide, opening the door, and Jensen was ready and zip right on by. Blew right past him, and I really think that pretty much blew Vettel's race out of the water. Once he was behind Button, wasn't a lot of chance for him to get into a position to get back. He challenges him once or twice a little bit later in the race, but really never has a quality opportunity to get past him.
Yeah, it's a rare opportunity where we can say Vettel was rattled. And running on lighter fuel than Button, once Button got ahead, it was, his goose was
pretty much
scoped.
A done deal. Just a little mistake. My guess, tires a little cool from sitting on the grid. Just not as much grip as he expected, and that caused him to go a little bit wide in that corner.
He said in the press conference, I heard that there was a lot of tailwind, and he said he almost lost the car on the second lap, same area.
Yeah. When we see him take that twitch, he was pretty lucky to hold on to the car because his back end probably moved 4 feet when it got onto the grass, and he snaps it back and gets it back going straight. Bit of a challenge, but he manages to keep it on the track. Button is now actually starting to pull away from Sebastian Vettel, even with the heavier fuel load, which seemed kind of surprising, but a lot of people are starting to say, and I tend to agree with most of them, in that the Bronze have a lot more in the bag than they're actually putting on the track, it seems, in most cases. That there's a lot more speed in this car than they're actually showing most people on track.
Either they are moving further away or everybody else is falling more behind. But it's a very impressive package right now.
Yeah, the one thing that really caught my eye this weekend that I hadn't noticed in previous weekends is their nose is the lowest nose on the grid.
You know, this car, because Ross Brawn is a humble guy, maybe that's why. No, actually, if you look at the Ferrari of some years ago when Ross, it has the same nose feature. And that was the first thing I noticed when this car was unveiled.
Yeah, most everybody's got a reasonably high nose. I think the nearest to the Brawn nose is actually the Ferrari. But compared to most, their wing posts are 4 or 6 inches long, where almost everybody else in the grid is at least a foot. At least my eyeballs say that they're about a foot. But
no, it's interesting. They have the Mercedes engine, which two other teams also have. And they are nowhere near this team, so they must have put together a very nice package.
Yeah, the package is almost perfect inside the rules that we have this season as far as that goes. Because the other thing that we're seeing them having a pretty strong advantage in is tire wear. That it really doesn't matter which option they're on, they don't seem to chew them up nearly as quickly as everybody else.
What really, I was watching this race. I watched it live and again before coming down here to our palatial headquarters. Really, with Button, what they have is years and years and years of experience. And I think it was a very smart move for them to keep Barrichello and not take Bruno. But as things have turned out, I think Bruno probably would have done an equally good job.
Yeah, I don't think it would have made a much difference. I think they have the advantage in that you've got Barrichello, who's an older seasoned driver, who's actually used to playing kind of the number two role, which I think buys them a little bit in experience. You might be seeing, but today, with a bad car, he was even then making some mistakes that we haven't seen him really make so far this season, that we saw him do significantly more often last year, and not nearly as much.
Well, when your teammate has won 6 races of the 7 run, you know, it's natural, a certain element of frustration is going to creep in.
Yeah, exactly. And that actually, that bit of information is some history in that Button has now exceeded the best start of all time in the first seven races of a Grand Prix championship. No one else has ever won six out of seven to start a season. Big surprise there. my mistake. He's actually equaled the best start of anybody to start a season. There have been approximately four of the drivers, my esteemed co-host informs me. But I thought I heard them say on the broadcast that he had the opportunity to set record, but I guess he'll have that opportunity next week at the next Grand Prix to actually improve on anybody's previous record. Getting back to the race, we're in lap two. Kubica's attacking Alonso for P7. Rosberg has managed to get past Rubens Barrichello on the opening couple of laps. Button is running away from the Red Bull on lap three. Barrichello takes another look at passing Kovalainen, but fails to pull off the move in P12. And this battle will go on for a couple of laps. Heikki Kovalainen does an outstanding job at keeping Rubens back for several laps, and you can actually see the curves coming into play.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are a couple of times when you see Rubens is coming, I think it was one of the runs down the start-finish straight, and you can see Rubens getting into his pocket, and he pulls out, and then all of a sudden, Heikki seems to get a little bit more speed, beat him into the corner.
That was very good dicing, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad the TV producer or director kept the focus on that.
Yes.
Because normally they tease you with 30 seconds of some exciting thing going on.
And then they'll go back and show Button, you know, yeah, extending his lead. Yeah. Really? We know he's out there.
Yeah. Or go to a Pink's commercial.
Well, if you're watching Fox, they probably went to a commercial at some point right there. Fisichella pulls into the pits on lap five, and as we're watching on the feed, they get out the jack and they put his car up on the dolly. His day is done. Poor Giancarlo, it's like, oh well. But
you know, when Barrichello retired, not that I want to wish somebody ill will, but I was thinking, you know, if there's a problem with Button, this could be Weber's great day.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people would be happy to see him get a win, myself included.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see him get one. Let me see. Barrichello continues the lap seven. Kovalainen continues to be hounded by Rubens Barrichello. Rubens manages to finally pass him in the final turn, but Heikki manages to throw the curves in his face and beat him down into the first turn, taking back his position.
Do you like this introduction of curves thing?
I do and I don't. I would like it better if everybody had it. The fact that it's kind of, you know, these guys, basically four cars on the grid with it, which in this particular race. And it just doesn't seem to me, there doesn't seem to be significant enough benefit to the teams that carry it to make it worth their while. You'll see it sometimes in this type of situation where it seems to be benefiting the Kurs carrier.
Yeah.
A lot of times we've seen with the Ferraris, they were in a lot of trouble with it burning up the car. You know, the Renault.
Forcing poor Kimi to jump out of a car, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's asking too much.
And then with Renault and BMW, you basically see them walking away from it. Because I think they didn't want to pay the weight penalty because they weren't seeing enough gain from carrying the extra pounds. If you really want to make it work in the situation that it's in, every car should have to carry that 1,200 pounds or whatever, or the 120 pounds or whatever it weighs, as either as the curves or as ballast.
Yeah, you know, this was brought up by, I believe, Martin Brundle brought up on the BBC podcast, or the telecast. And he said, you know, I mean, is this good plastic racing? I don't, you know, I like natural form of racing, you know. I mean, they have this power to, you know, pass in A1GP also. And it's just, you know, I just would like to see a simple straight race, you know.
Yeah. It comes down to the A1GP where it's power to pass. Yeah, more often than not, it has no effect in the race because there's really the opportunity given to use it doesn't really apply itself.
In the immortal words of Nelson Piquet, this is artificial excitement.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's senior, not junior.
here we are. As this battle is going on between Barrichello and Kovalainen, and Timo Glock is managing to move up on Barrichello and tighten up that race. Barrichello tries again, but makes minor contact with the rear tire of Heikki Kovalainen's car and manages to spin out, losing several more positions, dropping to P17. Barrichello quickly regains a place on lap 10 by passing Hamilton and with Piquet now in front of him. Lap 10, first stops are due to begin any time now. Alonso, and we're expecting Alonso and Vettel in around lap 15. Piquet manages to lock up in turn 9, allowing Barrichello to pass him for P15. Button is extending his lead, almost up to 5 seconds at this point, and seems to be continuing to grow that lead. Rubens on lap 12 is managing now to pressure Adrian Sutil for P14, and then he manages to get past him. Actually, doesn't manage to get past him. He again has contact with the car in front of him. This time, Rubens Barrichello ends up losing the right front corner of his wing. Pretty good damage. He ends up having to take an entire lap around before he pits again for a new nose. They throw on tires and fuel. He's in for about 11 seconds. Alonso pits from P7. Button has just set a fastest lap on lap 16. And then Vettel pits on lap 15, takes on a new set of hards, and is in for about 6.5 seconds. Questioning now, we're thinking it was a pretty quick stop for the German, and so now there's questions as to whether or not he may go to a three-stop strategy to try to improve his opportunities against the likes of Jenson Button. Lap 17, truly pits. He's in and out in about 9 seconds. He stays on the hard tires. He rejoins in P9. Button is now got his lead up to almost 12 seconds over Weber, who is now in second. And then on lap 18, Button pits from the lead. He also stays in the hard tires and is in and out in about 9.3 seconds. He rejoins in P3 behind Weber and Rosberg. Lap 18, Massa pits, and it looks as though Button on a two-stopper with Vettel on a three. And now we'll see how long the soft tires can... Basically, it looks like we're trying to optimize the length of our stint on the soft tires. On lap 19, Weber pits from the lead, followed quickly by Rosberg. Weber's in and out in 9.4 seconds. He stays on the hard tires, as does Rosberg. Lap 19 rejoins just behind Mark Weber, rejoins the field right behind Kubica in P5 or in P4. And then on lap 20, Heikki Kovalainen pits. He goes from the softs to the hards in a 9.1 second stop. Kubica pits from P3. He stays on the hard tires with a 9.3 second stop. Lap 21, Adrian Sutil pits. And Robert Kubica, after his pit stop, has rejoined in P10. Vettel is closing up on Button in his much lighter Red Bull, and he's managing to take some pretty huge chunks out of Button's lead. Hamilton manages to pass Raikkonen in turn 1 for P13, and then on lap 23, Vettel is taking huge chunks out of Button and is now coming up on being down by just under 2 seconds. Rosberg, one of those to gain from the first run of stops by leaping truly in his Toyota. Lap 24, Vettel now has Button in attacks. He's trying to get close enough to attack. We'll see what happens as we go. Lap 25, Red Bull, the pit, is telling Vettel to concentrate on his braking as he tries to pass Button. Button knows that Vettel's going to have to make one more stop and how hard he needs to defend. And actually, he does an exceptionally good job of just keeping Vettel back far enough so that he can't get that pass. And I actually think that he could have let him go, and he still would have been able to win the race, because I don't think Vettel had enough pace to get far enough ahead of him to save him on that next stop.
Yeah, good thing was both people drove a sensible race, did not make any stupid mistakes.
Unlike Jensen's teammate, who managed to get himself in a position to have the door slammed on him twice in the space of about 5 laps. Seemed kind of fun. Lap 27, Nakajima is pitting from P4. On lap 27, clock passes truly for P6. And then on lap 28, Hamilton is closing on PK for P12. Lap 29, Heidfeld pits from P8. Vettel pits from second. He'd had in this stint behind Button really one solid opportunity to get past Jens and just didn't have enough pace to beat him down the straight to take advantage of it. And I think Red Bull made a decision at that point that let's get him in, let's see if we can't beat him on track position. Instead, basically putting it in Vettel's hands to throw down some exceptionally good laps with a light car in clear air. Lap 31, Glock pits from P5. Lap 32, PK pits from P11, his first stop of the day. Hamilton and Bourdais, the only two yet to pit, and in comes Hamilton on lap 33. He goes to the soft tires with a 9.8 stop, and he is good to go for the race. Good to go for the rest of the race. Lap 33, Bourdais is in for his first stop, and he goes back out on the softs. On lap 34, crucially, Hamilton rejoins just ahead of Piquet. He has a long stint ahead of him, and on the less favored soft tires. Lap 36, Alonso is being told to move out, get out from behind Kubica's slipstream, so that he can keep his engine cool. I failed to mention at the beginning of the race coverage in that we have an exceptionally hot day for Turkey any time of the year, really. We're talking about a race in the 90s, track temperatures up in the 110s, 120s, unusually warm for Turkey, even when we have the race later in the summer. And so they're having some issues. Some of the teams not really tremendously well prepared. You know, we've got drivers out with, you know, the cooling vests and things like that we would typically see in the likes of Malaysia or Bahrain for this particular race.
Or the Phoenix Grand Prix in March.
if we ever have one of those again. And then lap 36, Vettel not getting as much pace as he needs on these open, on these clear laps. He's not gaining enough on button to make a big difference. Probably basically lost the advantage he had being light by going in and filling up. So now he's probably about even paced with Button. Lap 38, Buemi passes Hamilton for P17. And poor Lewis is probably going to have a rough end of the race. He's on the soft tires, and we know that these soft tires, as they did in they have in the last couple races, really are good for about 5. You might get to 10 laps, but once you get past that point, you're driving on skates.
Now listen to what he just said. Buemi passes Hamilton for 17.
Yeah.
What a difference a year makes. What a difference a package means.
Yeah, exactly. The quality of your car makes is all the difference, really, in Formula One. You know, you could take a Buemi and drop him in a Brawn, and he'd probably be he'd be chasing Button down. The quality of the drivers is, you know, unless you look at a guy like Fernando Alonso who can take a complete dog of a car and tack a half second on it. Had to throw Alonso in because the host isn't here.
Welcome back, Clark.
But almost any other driver, you put him in a quality package, he's going to be able to make something with it. You don't get to Formula One unless you've got a lot of cash in your back pocket or you're a really good
and
driver.
Front too. Yeah. No, it's just amazing, you know. I mean, what a difference it makes. And then, you know, when people ask who was the greatest driver, I mean, you just look at the...
You can kind of say, but it's kind of like, who was the luckiest driver to get into the best, the most best packages?
Yeah.
You know, you put a guy like Schumacher, and you put him with a team that was just phenomenal for the period of time he was there at getting him first-rate cars. Mm-hmm. Some of those cars, I'm sure he added a little bit to.
Oh, sure.
But if they weren't as good as they were, he would never have been as competitive as what... You know, you can really just go back and look at the 2005 season and go, what a difference a car makes. Yeah. Because that year, the Ferrari was just a dog.
Yeah.
And even then, Schumacher, at times, made it competitive.
Well, he won the U.S. Grand Prix. The historic U.S. Grand Prix.
Yeah. a little help from Michelin.
Yeah.
Let me see. Lap 41, or lap 40, Barrichello makes his second stop, takes on his soft tires. Lap 40 also, Alonso takes on his second stop, and Jenson Button sets a new fastest lap, which will be the fastest lap of the race of a 127.579. Lap 41, Rosberg picks from P4, he takes on softs. He rejoins in P7 just behind his teammate, Nakajima. He will eventually pass him before the end of the race. Well, I think actually his teammate pits, so he ends up getting him on that. Lap 43, Massa pits from P5. He takes on softs, about a 7.5 second stop. He rejoins in P10 behind Raikkonen. Lap 44, Button pits for the second time, as do Kovalainen and Webber and Buemi. Softs for Button, softs for Webber, and Trulli pits on lap 44, rejoining with Webber managing to rejoin in P3, which will work out to his advantages before the end. Lap 44, Nakajima pits. Had a little bit of trouble getting on his left front tire, some trouble with the wheel cover. 44, lap 45, Kubica and Raikkonen make their second stops. Lap 46, Trulli has managed to move ahead of Rosberg in the second round of stops. And then Heidfeld on lap 46 pits from P8. Lap 47, Vettel needs to really pull out the stops if he's going to manage to catch even his teammate in P2. Vettel does need to still stop again to get his soft tires on for his final stint. Lap 48, Glock pits from P6. PK is also in from P11. Lap 48, Vettel is putting out some really good laps, but I don't think it's going to be quite enough. Lap 48, Barrichello pits, and Vettel is in two. New sauce for Vettel, and Barrichello's car is rolled into the garage. Apparently, from what we heard in the post-race interviews, he was having some transmission issues, issues with a clutch, which is what caused his problems in the early part of his race and kind of dogged him from there on. I think they just decided to pull him in and call it a day before he ended up stopped on the track. Lap 51, looks like the top six are pretty stable unless Vettel can manage to catch his teammate Weber. And then lap 54, Vettel is being told that that his teammate is actually faster than he is, when he actually isn't. Thinking the team wants to, one, have him conserve his car and his engine for future races, and also to give Mark Weber the chance to take a second step on the podium. And actually, I think they were actually more concerned about getting both cars home in 2-3, because it's a big boost for them in the Constructors' Championship with Barrichello out of the race.
Or maybe they thought there might be some rain and we may have a repeat of what happened in Japan some years ago.
Who knows? That's always true. Yeah. Let's get that safety car out there. And then we're into the final lap. Button wins the race by about 6 seconds. And takes a second flag for the sixth time this season. Weber gets a second. Vettel third. Trulli comes in strong fourth for Toyota. And Nico Rosberg with, I think, well, his best finish of the season and one of the best of his career in fifth. The Ferraris make a reasonably good showing with Massa finishing sixth. BMW is kind of back into the game with Robert Kubica getting his first points of the season in seventh. And Timo Glock rounds out the points getters in eight. Following him in nine, Raikkonen with Alonso, Heidfeld, Nakajima, Hamilton, Kovalainen, Buemi, Piquet, Sutil, and Bourdais finishing out the field. Barrichello and Fisichella both retired due to mechanical problems. Really clean race as far as that goes. You know, nobody making the schmozzle in the first couple corners. Saw a little bit of dicing, looked pretty close, but nothing major. So a good clean race at times, fun to watch. At other times, kind of, you know, keeping an eye on the strategy rather than what was actually going on in the race.
So, beautiful track, beautiful track.
I love that track, and especially that long triple apex high-speed turn. Yeah. It's just beautiful to see a car going around that corner.
That's a real racing track.
And then quick wrap here. Standings for the Drivers' Championship. Jenson Button with 61 points, almost twice what his teammate has with 35, more than twice what Vettel has with 29. Weber in fourth with 27.5, Trulli in fifth with 19.5. Sixth is Glock with 13, Rosberg has 11.5, Massa with 11, Alonso with 11, and Hamilton and Raikkonen top out the top 10, both with 9. And then in the Constructors' Championship, Braun GP Mercedes is up to 96 points, a 39.5 point lead over Red Bull Renault at 56.5, Toyota with 32.5, Ferrari with 20, Mercedes McLaren with 13, Williams Toyota with 11.5, Renault with 11, BMW Sauber is up to 8, and the Toro Rosso Ferrari has 5. On to the quick comments from the forum for today's race. We've got from Miguel, it took 1.5 years for Nelson to show the world the glimpse of the F1 racing talent. Button will be champion this year.
What lap was
not,
that?
I'm not sure.
What lap was that? I'd like to know.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe every lap. I read that when I posted him. I go.
No, I get it. Every lap, but he did not spin or crash.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't wreck out. Ye writes, even if Vettel hadn't gone off nine corners into the race, Button would have easily passed him using the pit stops. Seb's pit strategy didn't even clear him from his teammate. Braun are sandbagging. They are faster than they are generally showing. Iceman writes, Turkish delight for Button. Rattles at the ready for the Red Bull debrief. Vettel is not a happy chappy. Yet more of the deja vu for Rubens. Who is that McLaren driver? Hamilton? Question mark. Championship now effectively over, barring some unforeseen event. And he writes, DC and Brundle make a great commentary team. Sihi Sin writes, Vettel has shown that he has things to learn, and Hamilton that he is learning things. Button shows that it doesn't matter how good a driver you are until you have the right equipment. BMW and Toyota are inching along in the right direction, and McLaren in the wrong one. Tricky Dick writes, championship over, and Cosmos writes, I fell asleep. So I could see where that might happen. If I'd gotten up to watch this race at 4 o'clock this morning, I probably would have fallen asleep too. Now let's move on, and we'll go into the Motorsports Mundial for this weekend with Nasser Hamid. Nasser, let's spin the globe and take it away.
Hey, bus driver, keep the change. Bless your children, give them names. Don't trust men who walk with canes. Drink just and you'll grow wings on your feet. Broadway Mary Joan Fontaine, advertiser on a downtown train.
Greetings from Asbury Park to Istanbul Park. The F1 bus may not stop at Kurtköy station in future, and more on that later.
Well, they were saying that this is the only race they run at this track right now, which is pretty sad because it's a really nice track. I'm really surprised that the Le Mans group in Europe or somebody else doesn't go there.
Well, they had a DTM race some years ago and a motorcycle race, and it just goes to show, when they're convincing these countries to fork out hundreds of millions of dollars and then you have only one race. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to recoup any kind of money. You probably can't even make back the salaries that they have to pay for the people to maintain it.
Yeah, and I was very surprised it's not even open to locals to go and, go and...
You'll run some local sporting events of some kind.
Make some money that way. But anyway, we shall start with GP2 feature race on Saturday. Vitaly Petrov says das Vidania to other drivers and wins the race after taking the lead on lap 3 from pole sitter Nico Hülkenberg, who was busy defending his position from Luca Filippi. Filippi finished second ahead of fellow Italian Davide Valsecchi, and Mr. Hülkenberg hung on to come home fifth. Championship leader Romain Grosjean dropped out with mechanical issues late in the race. The feature race, of course, takes place on Saturday, and then Sunday we have the sprint race. And this saw first win of the season for Lucas Di Grassi, who is from Brazil and ex-Renault test driver. Javier Villa of Spain was second, and Vitaly Petrov's third-place finish gives the Russian driver lead in the championship over teammate Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, that mechanical, the DNF hurts big time.
Yeah. Now we go to British F3 from Hockenheim. They do a few races outside Britain. Winner in race one was Marcus Ericsson of Sweden. He also won the previous round. Second race of the weekend was won by Austrian Walter Grubmüller. Robert Wickens of Canada was third. IRL, Indy Racing League, from Texas Motor Speedway. Dario Franchitti takes pole. Race result was a Penske 1-2 led by Castro Neves with Ryan Briscoe second. Scott Dixon was third. And the show continues. Miss Patrick, after having issues with Dan Weldon, Jacques Lazier, and Milka Duno, now has some issues with teammate Marco Andretti. The two battled hard in the closing stages of Saturday's night race. Marco was fourth and Danica finished sixth.
So is there something on YouTube of her along the pit wall trying to berate Marco for some perceived slight?
I have not seen it, but I'm sure there is, because apparently there was some sort of exchange of words in the pit lane after the race, and then apparently Tony Kanaan, who is like the father figure to these people, jumped in and tried to sort things out. But it was pretty dicey racing between the two.
Was it?
Yeah, when you're racing on an oval and 10 laps to go, nobody wants to lose
place.
Yeah. Now we move to Grand Am from Watkins Glen. A victory for Scott Pruett and Memo Rojas in Ganassi Racing Lexus Riley. First win of the season for the CalMax duo. Max Angelelli and Brian Frizzell finished second in their Ford Dallara. Penske drivers Timo Bernhard and Romain Dumas finished third in their Porsche Riley. NASCAR from Pocono, Pennsylvania, and this race just finished, folks, as we were recording this thing, and Tony Stewart smoked the competition. Carl Edwards was second, David Ruderman third, and Monty, I believe, finished eighth. And, you know, you were making fun of Monty the other day in the championship and chase to the cup or whatever it is called.
Right.
He's 15th, a solid 15th, which is five places ahead of Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Mm.
So he's hanging around.
Is it top 10 or top 15 for the chase?
Top 12, I believe.
Top 12. So yeah. He's got some work to do if he's going to
move
on. Eighth is significantly better than 30.
That's why
we were giving him a hard time about his race in Dover.
Yeah. And Joey Logano, this young up-and-coming talent, he won the ARCA race on Saturday at Pocono. And the Busch Series, which is now called the Nationwide Series, was in Nashville, Tennessee. Rowdy Busch was humming in Music City and dominated the Nationwide race. Fourth win of the season in this series for the Vegas Vagabond. This guy is very good racing talent, no question about it. Now
I noticed that the Busch Nationwide Series isn't racing as often on the same tracks as the Sprint Cup on the weekends.
Yeah, surprisingly, they don't do more races together.
Last year seemed like they were always doing the same one. It was always like, you know, Kyle winning both races, you know.
Yeah. Okay, now we come to the Jacoby and Meyer segment. We have two cases in the court today, Your Honor. Docket number one is Jeremy, and this is getting really out of control. Docket one is Jeremy Mayfield versus NASCAR. The Owensboro, Kentucky driver was kicked out of NASCAR Nation after he failed a drug test. Owensboro, Kentucky is quite a motorsports town, as two other famous sons include Nicky Hayden and the man who goes, boogity, 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 let's go racing, boys. He is also known as Jaws and one of my all-time NASCAR favorite drivers, Mr. Darrell Waltrip.
So his brother's from a different – Michael's from a different town?
No, I think Michael
– Both Waltrips be from the same town?
No, I think they are.
Okay.
And but Darrell Waltrip has a great sense of humor. You know,
He's fun to listen to.
Yeah. You know, one of the cars is sponsored by a Little Debbie, you know. And about a month ago, maybe last year, the car was in a small fender bender kind of during the race. And they were close up of that thing, and you can see Little Debbie logo there. And he goes, "That's no cupcake." So he has a great sense of humor, which I enjoy very much. Docket number two is a reversal of misfortune: NASCAR versus Jeremy Mayfield. NASCAR has countersued Mayfield, accusing him of violating its substance abuse policy, breach of contract, and defrauding competitors. Defrauding competitors is because he was using illegal drugs. They're claiming
while he was racing,
and then he whatever place he finished in could have gone to.
He defrauded the persons who finished behind him.
Yeah, so maybe Monty could have moved up from 30th to 29th.
Yeah.
I think Jeremy Mayfield needs to cool down by listening to Kentucky Rain. Although, you know that song Kentucky Rain from Elvis.
Well, the fact that he's filed a suit against NASCAR is pretty much ended his NASCAR career.
Yeah.
Because even win or lose, no one's going to sign him to a contract.
Yeah. But that's why you should be listening to Kentucky Rain. Otherwise, NASCAR will keep pouring down on him another day, another town, and you don't want rain in your shoes.
Uh-uh.
Especially if you want to get a big sponsor. Now we come to Turkey Leg, a look at the Turkish Grand Prix. The track with 14 corners and 5.3 kilometers in length is the finest creation from the mind of Hermann, the German Tilke. It is located in Kurtköy area of Istanbul, which is in the Asian part of Istanbul. Track capacity is about 130,000 people, but some reports suggest attendance last year was around 40,000, which if this report is correct, it's definitely not going to help this race make money.
No, it's going to be really tough to turn a profit when you're only filling, you know, one-third of your capacity.
Yeah. The track, like Singapore, Interlagos, and the new Yas Marina circuit in Abu Dhabi, runs counterclockwise. The inaugural Turkish Grand Prix in 2005 was won by an awake and alert McLaren driver, Kimi Raikkonen. It was in this race their number two driver collided with Thiago Monteiro, only two laps from the end. This could only mean Juan Pablo Montoya or Paul Tracy. Yeah, you can count on these things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or DC.
Yeah. Felipe Massa has been the pasha of performance, winning the Turkish Grand Prix 3 years in a row. His victory in 2006 was his maiden Grand Prix success, which was a very impressive win, yeah. I must say. This is one of the very few Grand Prix races not won by Michael Schumacher.
Not really on the docket long enough for him to have the opportunity, truly. What, he only raced on it four times? Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Two or three times, 2005, 2006. But for him, you know, not to win a race in 2 years, like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So now there are reports that Bernie may stuff the Turkish Grand Prix after 2011. It will be a shame to lose this circuit from the calendar. When drivers start comparing this track to Spa and Suzuka, you know Tilke has created a masterpiece, finally.
Yeah, he got one right.
Yeah. Well, the Malaysian track is also very nice.
Yeah, it's very not nice. I like this one a little bit better. There's more elevation change.
Yeah.
And that one triple apex turn kind of makes this track.
Yeah.
And I also like the fact that it runs counterclockwise because it's a nice difference.
And you like it because Turkish doner kebabs are less
Turkish
spicy.
Yeah. Turkish coffee.
Yeah, there you go. But economic reality has hit the Turkish venue as the track is not used, as we discussed, 362 days of the year based on published reports. And you know, the facility is owned by Istanbul Chamber of Commerce, and Erkelstone is leasing the facility. So I have a feeling that they will find somebody who will pay them $30 million even in this day and age and probably take the race to Kazakhstan or Bulgaria.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a couple of countries coming onto the calendar in 2000. I think India is supposed to come onto
India,
the calendar in
yeah.
2011. So
yeah, in South Korea.
I can easily see them drop this, letting this one fall off the calendar to keep the number of races down.
Yeah. Sunday's victory makes Button the fifth driver to win six of the first seven races. Others to accomplish this were Alberto Ascari, Juan Manuel Fangio, Jim Clark, and Michael Schumacher. Button's lead in the championship over teammate Barrichello is a beefy 26 points. Cruise and collect in the remaining races should net him his long-awaited world championship. And I'll be happy for him because,
yeah,
you know,
considering the hype that he came into Formula One with, you know, the talent that he brought with him, and then all of the other stuff that went on once he got to Formula One.
Right.
It's good to see him get into a good package and finally start, you know, showing the talent that he came into the sport with.
Yeah, he kept Honda and Williams lawyers very busy.
Yeah. BARs, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Barrichello is without a win, and this is from a driver who thought he could give Shu the boot at Ferrari if it was not for team orders. Which brings us to, I guess, misery loves company, another Brazilian, Piquet under pressure. More turkey wingding for Nelsinho as rumors continue that his days are numbered at Renault. If Grosjean wins the GP2 championship, his goose is really cooked. However, as we saw in this weekend's GP2 races, if Grosjean's case is rattled by Nico Hülkenberg and the young German wins the GP2 championship in his rookie year, then Grosjean is French toast with a side order of Swiss cheese.
So, yeah, but isn't Hülkenberg under contract to the Williams team?
Well, he's a test driver, and, you know, Willy Weber is his manager.
Well, which means he gets to go to the highest bidder come
yeah,
season.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, he has the talent. It's not like they're pushing him just because he's German.
Right.
The guy is
yeah.
very good. So that's why, man, when you get these chances, it's like, you know, Massa last year.
Yeah, to come up
often,
1 point short.
And the circumstances also.
Yeah.
How often is he going to get that close to being a world champion?
You never know that you're going to get another package.
Yeah.
You know, in the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, and with Raikkonen trying more and more to be like Hannu Mikkola, I have a feeling that Ferrari will have another driver next year.
Yeah.
And if Alonso gets into Ferrari, it will make Massa's life very hard.
Yeah, that much more difficult.
Yeah. Okay, Nelsinho narrated this to reporters in Turkey, I quote, "I have a hard team, a hard boss, and a hard teammate, which is going to help me a lot in the future," unquote. Time will tell if Nelsinho, described by Peter Windsor as grumpy in best of times, has a future in Formula One, or will it be a case of hanging out in Miami with Monty and TK and racing in the series owned by TG? You know, one of those things that your reputation precedes you. I was listening to another podcast, actually the F1 Rejects, and they even referred to Nelsinho Piquet's bad attitude. So, true or false, I don't know. I had one experience. I will never, judge a guy by one experience, but it really fit the perception.
The
yeah. So Piquet is under so much pressure. Lady has to sing the blues.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the
Now we move on to some news from motor and motorsports industry. May I continue, Mr.
Sure, Fong? Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. After selling Hummer to a Chinese machinery maker, and this deal might come undone thanks to the Chinese government.
Yeah, that and the fact that Chrysler's trying to sell itself is also coming under fire. But
GM Saturn division is orbiting towards Penske Automotive Group. Captain plans to use Saturn dealer network to sell Korean-built Renault Samsung vehicles. These are based on Nissan models. Renault owns 70% of Samsung vehicles and is also majority shareholder in Nissan. In the U.S., Renault owns Mack Trucks and Clark Rogers Corazon, Española for heart. Michelin Latin America, some sad news. Among the victims of Air France crash in the Atlantic was the head of Michelin Latin America, Luis Roberto Anastasio. So not a good thing what happened there, unfortunately. Mercedes-Benz will lay off about 50 workers at its high-performance plant in England. Formula One's 2009 rule changes are the reason for the cuts. Le Mans 24 Hours, among the drivers in the race is Paul Drayson, who will drive a Lola Aston Martin. When he is not racing, he is on Her Majesty's service as England's Minister of Science. And I wonder if his favorite singer is Thomas Dolby. A look at a day in motorsports history, June 6, 1960, Dutch Grand Prix at Zandvoort. A young Scottish driver makes his Formula One debut in Colin Chapman's Lotus team, named Jim Clark. Need I say more? It was in this race a child in a prohibited area was killed when the brakes failed on Dan Gurney's BRM and he went off course. From looking back to looking forward, 2010 Dakar Rally will be staged in South America again. Did you like that?
I thought that it was actually significantly better race than it was in Dakar, just because the terrain was just so much more brutal.
Yeah, I liked it very much also. Event will start and finish in Buenos Aires, running from January 1st to January 17th. And now we come to famous last words. I've read this many, many times, so I thought I should mention this here. The 1982 world champion from Finland, Mr. Keke Rosberg, is fond of saying, I quote, "If my aunt had mustache and balls, she would be my uncle," unquote. That's his Helsinki formula. And we end today's Motorsports Mondial with some musical Mondial. Please enjoy this tune from Turkey. Thank you. Ta-ta.
And now our quick wrap-up for this race recap podcast. If you're interested in sponsorship, advertisement, or cross-promotion with our show or on our website, contact us at info@f1weekly.com. And I would like to thank Toby, Desiree, David, Nasser, and Clark, as well as all of our listeners. It is these people that make this show possible. Thank you and good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.